Difficulties beyond our control are delaying our presentation of the Campbell Soup Show, Amos and Andy, scheduled to be heard at this time. As soon as these difficulties have been cleared, we hope to present Amos and Andy. In the meantime, a transcribed organ interlude. and gentlemen, the difficulties which delayed our presentation of Amos and Andy, sponsored by the makers of Campbell's Soups, have now been cleared. Here are the famous pair, Amos and Andy.
And the next thing, I sort of forgot some of the words to the song I was going to sing.
Yeah.
Couldn't get them in my head.
Yeah.
Then you know that Mrs. Van Poulter and myself ain't speaking to each other, and we were supposed to sing together.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Then a little thing like, well, this didn't amount to nothing, but I started thinking about getting up in front of all them people and something going wrong.
Oh, now, that's it right there. Now you done beat around the bush. You done finally got in there where the rabbit is. Yeah.
Well, what's that? What?
Yeah, well, that is that thing you're talking about. That is the germ that starts the whole fever, that fear germ.
Oh, I wasn't scared.
You think you was, and you were so nervous that all the nerves in your throat got together and said, let's tighten up on him. That's what your nerves say.
Well, I've been over and talked to my singing teacher. I told her that I was better now.
Yeah.
Then she told me that she was going to have the recital next week.
Oh, you was over there early this morning. Yeah, you told me that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm in great shape.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Oh,
yeah.
come, I love you only.
Oh, boy, I really wish the thing was tonight.
Yeah, you really wish the thing was over and that you was a big success. That's what you really wish.
No. I tell you, I know that I'm going to be a success.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the newspapers is all going to be there to hear me sing.
Well, now listen, and I didn't want to show you this, but here's a little piece that was in the newspaper today.
What's that?
Look here, I'll read it to you. The Bluebird School of Singing, which is managed by Mademoiselle Henrietta DeWitt, announced that the recital scheduled for tonight would be postponed until a later date due to illness of some of the participants.
Yeah, well, that ain't bad.
Now, listen to this. Andrew H. Brown contracted buck fever yesterday as the 0 hour approached. However, it was reported in Harlem that he knocked himself out with his own singing at rehearsals.
That's a fine thing.
Residents of Harlem claim to have never heard Mr. Brown sing. That noise you have been hearing for the past 2 weeks, which resembles a cow, was Mr. Brown rehearsing for his debut.
Now, there's something.
It is reported that Mrs. Henry Van Poulter, one of our better singers in Harlem, flatly refused to have her voice humiliated by singing a duet with Brown.
Better singers.
This, we believe, was the real cause of the postponement.
Yeah, well,
although this writer called Mr. Brown on the phone yesterday for a statement, but found him unable to talk, much less sing. We are looking forward to the recital next week, when it is hoped that the teacher will be able to drug Mr. Brown sufficiently to get him on stage.
I relents the whole thing, and I'll sue the newspaper for assault, battery, and slander.
Yeah, well, don't start suing the newspaper now, because they print the news, and this is news.
Yeah, but why has they got to stand up and say all that about me? Some little reporter that ain't got sense enough to come in out the rain write that stuff. Wait till the newspaper crickets hear me sing.
Yeah, well, that's who wrote this. This fella is the music cricket on the paper. He is the one that's going to report after he hears you sing.
Oh, he is, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I better let bad enough alone.
Yeah, I say you might as well. Don't forget, don't try to fight the newspaper. Remember, the pen is mightiest than the sword.
Yeah, I'd rather get stuck with a pen, though.
Yeah, well, he's sticking you with one now.
Yeah, that's the way with these crickets. They can't do nothing themselves, and they find fault with everything everybody else do.
Well, the man is paid to find out the news about singing, and he got to tell the truth, because the public wants to know the latest news.
My public. How can they be like that? I love them.
Wait a minute. Here comes Henry Van Poulter.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to him.
But don't start an argument with him.
Oh, he's on my side. Come in, Henry.
Well, how is you today, Henry?
Well, my charming friends, how is you? Mrs. Van Poulter is home, and she's having a nervous breakdown.
Oh, she is, huh? What's the matter with her? Getting old?
Oh, wait a minute, Andy.
I do not like that remark about Mrs. Van Poulter.
Well, you don't like her singing neither, do you?
Well, her singing has nothing to do with the remark you made. I'll have you know, Andrew Brown, that she is a member of the younger set.
All right. Well, what's the matter with her?
Yeah, what is the matter, Andy?
Well, it just seems that this singing that she's doing is getting on her nerves. Last night, she heard the news of the postponement, and it just messed up all of her plans.
Yeah, well, Andy had a bad throat here till they called the thing off.
Yeah, I was sick as two horses there for a while.
Yeah.
Well, confidential and under your hat, Mrs. Van Porter went to a store here in town, and she got a new dress to take home on approval. She was going to take the dress back Saturday morning, and she had a hard time getting the dress out of the store.
Oh, yeah, they won't let my wife take none out unless they put one of them lead sinkers on it, and if you take the lead sinkers off, why, you got to keep the dress.
Well, they had the little lead weights on the dress that Mrs. Van Porter borrowed, but she got some flowers to cover the lead.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they do that.
But now she can't use the dress for the recital, and of course she blames you for the whole thing, Andy.
Well, you blame me for it, huh?
Yeah, what's that?
Well, first of all, she say that you are teacher's pet.
Well, one thing, I paid that teacher $21. I ought to get a little petting for that. That's more than Mrs. Van Porter done paid. You know that teacher can't live on IOUs.
Well, boys, some things you know goes wrong and you can't do nothing about them.
Well, I will be glad when this singing is over because it is about to drive me out of my own home.
Well, don't forget we got to practice. People complaining about my singing.
Well, yeah, and there's been some complaints, yeah.
I have heard, come, come, I love you only till I'm about to jump out of a window.
Well, I don't sing that much. I vocalize.
Hey, I, you, Yeah, well, that is the thing, Andy, that the fellas is talking about in the newspaper, you know.
Mrs. Van Porter says that you will ruin her voice.
Well, how about her ruining my voice? She got me deaf in one ear now, the side she sings on.
Yeah, well, tell me this. When do you think the recital is going to be?
Well, Mrs. Van Porter talked to the teacher a while ago. And the teacher thought that she would tell everybody, but the singers, a little ahead of time and not tell them till a few minutes before the recital happens so that they won't have time to get scared.
Scared? I ain't scared, I'll tell you that. I'll sing in front of anybody. Be very funny if you see me in Carnegie Hall.
I think they got a janitor, Andy.
All right, be funny now, be funny. I'll show you. Wait a minute, come in, son.
Well, hello there, what y'all doing in
hello,
here?
Hello, Amos.
Yeah, well, we're just talking to Andy here, Brother Amos. Andy claims that, after all, the reason his throat closed up on him and all that stuff, that he claims that he didn't have the buck fever, and that wasn't the trouble with his throat.
Yeah, well, don't think that I got the buck fever.
Yeah, well, the reason I come over here, I just talked to your singing teacher just a minute ago. I just left there, and she says that she is going ahead with the recital tonight, and Andy, you has got to sing.
Well, that's news.
Yeah, well, going ahead with it, huh, Amos? What do you think of it, Andy?
Well, I'll do the best I can.
No, that's all right. Take it easy. I was just fooling. Yeah, now there's a fella that's really got a throat, ain't it?
Yeah, them buck fever germs are just laying in your throat there waiting to hear something.
Come on, son, unlax yourself. I was just kidding.
To many, many families, soup means Campbell's tomato soup. So, if it's a favorite at your house, too, won't you plan to have it again soon? And may I remind you that many people enjoy Campbell's tomato soup served as a tangy sauce. It's condensed, you know, double strength and double rich in keen tomato flavor, so it's ready to serve. Just heat it as it comes from the can and pour it over meatloaf, croquettes, or leftovers. It gives them a zippy tomato flavor men and youngsters both like. Many women keep extra cans of Campbell's tomato soup on hand to serve as a sauce as well as a soup. Don't you want to put it on your grocery list now? Amos and Andy, in person, will return to you tomorrow at this same hour. This is Bill Hay, speaking for Campbell's Tomato Soup, bidding you all good night.
Tomorrow, meet the day with a sunny glass of tomato juice. But make sure it's Campbell's. Campbell's canning process retains the fresh tomato flavor that never varies can to can. Tomorrow, turn to Campbell's Tomato Juice. A better drink at breakfast, a grand drink anytime.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Because of the importance of President Roosevelt's address to Congress, the transcription of the talk will be broadcast over WJSV at 10:45 this evening. WJSV, Washington. Woodbury presents The Parker Family, starring Leon Janney. The makers of Woodbury Facial Soap, the beauty soap for a skin you love to touch, again bring you a story in the life of the Parker family entitled The Dangerous Age, with Leon Janney as Richard Parker, nicknamed Richard the Great. Richard himself will begin our story tonight after a brief word from our Woodbury beauty consultant.
About this time of day, does your face look a bit fatigued? Well, it's no wonder that your skin gets a little tired and drab after you've been busy the whole livelong day. If you're going out tonight, take a Woodbury facial cocktail first. Just smooth on a rich lather of Woodbury facial soap. Massage it in gently and then rinse. Doesn't that sound easy? Lovely debutantes give their complexions this beauty cocktail with Woodbury every afternoon before the evening starts. It only takes a moment and almost instantly revives that fresh, glowing look in your complexion. You see, Woodbury facial soap is made of soothing oils that contain a skin-invigorating vitamin. This vitamin definitely helps arouse the tired skin's vitality. Now, I'm sure you've been meaning to try Woodbury for a long time. Then don't put it off. Get Woodbury today and see how quickly your complexion improves under its skin-enlivening care. Woodbury is now only 10 cents wherever fine toilet soap is sold.
And don't miss the special offer to be announced later in the program. And now here's Leon Janney as Richard the Great.
You know, the way things happen to me, I sometimes wish I'd lived a long time ago instead of now. Things were different then. Well, simpler, I guess I mean. And there were a lot of things you didn't have to worry about. Now take divorce, for instance. Something happened one day in my family that just about floored me. And finally, I decided to talk to my sister Nancy about it. I went up to her room that night and I said... I want to talk with you, Nancy.
For goodness sake, Richard, where is the body?
Huh? What body?
You sound as if you had it buried somewhere.
Oh, no, this is serious, Nancy.
Well, sit down. Oh, not on the bed, Richard, please. You'll muss it all up. Sit over there, why don't you? You won't mind if I finish doing my nails. I've been trying to get at it all day.
Nancy, what do you think of divorce?
Divorce?
Yeah. Well, it isn't funny, either.
I don't know, Richard.
Well, you'll soon have to make up your mind, I'll tell you that.
What are you talking about?
Mom and Dad are going to get a divorce.
Richard, you're crazy.
Oh, no, I'm not. Say, where were you this afternoon?
My mother asked me to go out to Prescott's farm to get the butter and egg.
Well, listen, I came home from school early today, and when I opened the front door, I heard Mom talking to somebody in the living room. I was just going in there when I heard something that just about knocked me over.
You mean Mother was talking to a man?
Sure. And it was somebody she knew before she was married to Dad, because she said something about stuff that happened when they were kids.
Richard, just because some old friend of Mother's drops in to see her...
You wait till you hear the rest of it. The man said, "I'll never forget how jealous Walter was." And then Mom kind of laughed.
Was that all?
No, it wasn't. The man said, I never thought I'd come to this, calling on a woman behind her husband's back. Now, do you believe me, Nancy?
Well,
what do you think she said then? She said, you'd better go before Richard comes home from school. I don't want him to know you were here, and he'd be sure to tell Walter.
Richard?
Well, she did. And then he said he'd drop in to see Dad tomorrow and pretend he just got into town. How do you like that?
I don't know what to think.
Well, I do. I think Mother's at the dangerous age. You know, like that picture we saw the other night.
Oh.
Well, she's still kind of young, isn't she? And you know yourself, Dad never sends her flowers or anything.
Oh, don't be silly. Dad's crazy about Mother. Now, listen, Richard. If I were you, I wouldn't say a word about this to anybody.
Well, I'm certainly not going to just sit around while the family falls to pieces. I'm going to do something.
What, for instance?
Well, I don't know exactly, but... Oh, gee, Nancy, I thought you'd help me think of something.
We can't say anything unless Mother does, Richard. We're not supposed to know it.
She didn't say anything to you about that guy, did she?
No, she didn't.
There, you see? Well, I'll tell you this much, Nancy. You can sit there and not say anything if you want to. But if I can think of something to do, I'm going to do it.
Well, hello, Richard.
Hiya, Dad. Can I see you for a minute?
Why, yes, yes. Miss Fenton, get the plans of the Austin house and bring them in to me in about 10 minutes, will you? Come in, son. Come in. No football practice this afternoon?
Oh, well, I got through early, you see. Oh. I thought I might kind of wait around and go home with you.
All right. I won't be leaving for an hour or more, though. Is that all you want to see me about?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought we might stop at the florist on the way home and take Mother some flowers. You might take them, I mean.
What's that?
Yeah.
It's not some kind of an anniversary, is it?
I just thought if you got her a corsage and maybe took her out dancing somewhere tonight, it might kind of, break the monotony.
Say, what's got into you anyway, Richard? What do you think we are, a couple of jitterbugs or whatever you call them?
Oh, of course not. But I'll bet Mother'd get a big kick out of going someplace to dance. Yeah, why don't you ask her to tonight?
Well, did she say anything to you about this nonsense?
Oh, no, Dad, you know how Mother is, but do you realize that you and she are at the dangerous age?
What? What age is that?
Well, the age where if you kind of take each other for granted, well, somebody else might come along or something. Mm-hmm. Yes, I saw a movie just the other
movie.
Night. With two...
Oh, I see. I thought it was funny you'd stop in just to walk home from the office with me.
Well, you can't blame me for not wanting to see
you let your mother and me worry about that, will you, Richard? I'm pretty busy this afternoon. You'd better go on home. Hmm?
Well, okay, if you say so, Dad. I only hope you don't wake up someday and find out it's too late.
Come in here, will you?
Just a minute. I'm broiling chops, and they have to be watched. What is it, Walter?
Can't Nancy tend to them?
Yeah, why, yes. Nancy, don't let the chops burn, dear. I'll be there in a minute.
All right, Mother.
Helen, do you know what Richard's got in his head now?
Well, I know. He's been up in his room ever since he came home.
He stopped into the office this afternoon, all full of some notion about you and I needing to go to a dance tonight for a change.
What?
What's he driving at?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Since if I didn't start bringing home flowers for you to wear, I'd wake up someday and find out it was too late.
Oh, good heavens.
You aren't sick, are you, Helen? He didn't mean that, did he?
Oh, certainly not, Walter.
The way he talked, I was just about ready to believe you had an old beau on the string.
Hmm? But he didn't know it. Oh, dear, that would be funny, wouldn't it?
Hey, what's the matter with you, Helen?
Nothing, Walter, nothing. I've got to get back and see about dinner.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Hmm? Nancy knows how to get dinner. You just said that Richard didn't know something. What was it?
Nothing that amounts to anything, Walter. My goodness, the way you're acting, you'd think I'd robbed the bank.
Well, what about the way you're acting? Hmm? You're trying to keep something from me, and I want to know what it is.
I'm not going to stand here and be cross-examined like a criminal, Walter Parker.
Why, Helen.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. I didn't mean to lose my temper. It's only that I...
Mother! I guess I might as well give you this letter.
Well, thank you, Richard. Oh.
It was in the mailbox when I came home. I thought at first I wouldn't give it to you, but then I realized that wouldn't be right. It's from somebody that's staying at the hotel.
Yes, I see it is, Richard. Well, I can't stand here talking any longer.
Aren't you going to open the letter, Mother?
No, dear, not now. I'll read it later.
Oh, I suppose you already know what's in it, do you?
Why, yes, Walter. But, yes, I do.
So there was something in all that tommyrod Richard was giving me.
Mother, Dad, come on to dinner. Everything's on the table.
There'll be no dinner eaten in this house tonight until I get to the bottom of this.
Oh, Richard, I told you not to say anything.
Oh, so you're in it too, Nancy.
Oh, we are not, Dad. Nancy and I don't know a thing about it, except that fella came here yesterday,
Richard,
and I don't think...
You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, gosh, Mom, you don't realize what it means to have your father and mother get a divorce.
What?
Divorce? Helen, who is this fella that's been coming around here behind my back?
That's just what he said, Dad.
Who said?
The fella.
Helen, will you tell me who this man is?
Oh, I might have known I couldn't keep anything from you. Every time I try to plan a surprise, it always...
Oh,
comes.
Mom, now please don't cry.
Why couldn't you keep still, Richard?
Oh.
I knew something like this would happen.
Oh, never mind, Nancy. It's all right. I don't know how you found out about Harry, Richard, but...
Harry who?
Harry Minnick.
What?
You know him, Walter.
Harry Minnick hasn't been in this town for 15 years. Have you been writing to him all this time?
I'm trying to tell you. You know, he was with that book publishing company for so long.
Yes?
Well, they finally went out of business, and poor Harry was out of a job. So he went to work as a book salesman. He travels around the country and takes orders.
But, Mom, he certainly wasn't talking about books to you yesterday. I heard you tell him he'd better go away before I got home, because I'd tell Dad he was here.
Did you, Helen?
Of course I did.
Well, that's a fine how-do-you-do.
Well, don't you see, Walter? When we had all that trouble about Eleanor Murray's birthday present last Sunday, I decided I'd get your birthday present early this year. So, when Harry called me up, I had him come over, and I ordered that set of technical books you've been talking about for the last year.
What?
Well, that's all there is to it, and you've spoiled my surprise for nothing. And that letter I just got is a copy of the order. He said he'd mail it to me, and he did. It doesn't seem very funny to me.
I'm sorry, Helen. I'm sorry. It's too bad to spoil your surprise.
Well,
but the idea of me letting Richard stir me all up over a man coming to see you, and then it turns out that he's a book agent, and old Harry Minnick at that.
The idea of two people of our age quarreling over another man anyway. It's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of.
You know, you really had me scared, Helen. You know what I'm going to do tonight after dinner?
There's no telling.
I'm going down and see that picture Richard was talking about.
What?
See, if you're getting to the dangerous age, I want to see what I'm up against.
Well, maybe I'd better go with you. You might be getting to that age yourself, and I'd hate to go through all this again.
From jumping cats, so would I.
How do you like that?
In just a moment, Leon Janney will be back to tell you about next week's story. But first, a word from Woodbury. Girls, which beauty soap would you say is the finest for the skin? Millions of you will reply, Woodbury Facial Soap, and right you are. For generations, the famous name Woodbury has stood for purity and gentle care of the skin. And today, Woodbury Facial Soap has this added benefit, a skin-invigorating vitamin which actually enlivens the skin's vitality. Just as Woodbury was the favorite of society belles in years gone by, it's the beauty cocktail of glamorous debutantes today. Try a Woodbury facial cocktail yourself. Whip up a rich lather, rub it generously over your face and neck, then rinse and see how bright and fresh your skin looks afterwards. Now, we'll send you a guest cake of fragrant Woodbury in a 5-piece weekend beauty kit if you'll write for it today. This attractive kit brings you also Woodbury powder in 8 glamorous shades, Woodbury beauty creams and a blush rose lipstick, a complete assortment of Woodbury complexion and makeup aids. And it's so easy to get. Just mail 10 cents with your name and address to Woodbury, Box 31, Cincinnati, Ohio. Send for it right away. Now, Richard the Great, what's the name of the story for next week?
Well, it's called Business Today. You know, you're always hearing about how business is going to depend on the coming generation in a few years and all that stuff. Well, I took a little flyer in business myself. Yeah, you'll be as surprised as I was at the way it turned out if you listen in next Thursday night. Good night.
Parker Family has been brought to you by the makers of Woodbury Facial Soap, the beauty soap for a skin you love to touch. Harry Clark speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. p.m. BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time. Courtesy of the Bulova Watch Company, 5th Avenue, New York. WJSV, Washington.
The makers of Post Toasties, the Wake Up Food, present Joe E. Brown. Yes, another radio shambles with Joey Brown, featuring Gil and Demling with Margaret McRae, Paula Winslow as Jill, yours truly Don Wilson, Harry Sosnick in his orchestra, and here's the star of our show, Joey Brown.
Hello, folks.
Well, Joe, I understand that you're going to New York at the end of this month for the world premiere of your new picture, $1,000 a Touchdown.
Yes,
is that right?
And the World Series, Don. Of course, that's your picture, too.
Well, I guess that's right, too, Joe. Are you driving, by the way?
No. I'm taking a train. That car of mine has a shimmy that I can't get rid of. You know how a dog wags its tail every time it sees a bone?
Well, of course, Joe, but what's that got to do with your car?
Well, every time my car sees a gasoline station, it wags its rumble seat. Don, as long as you're going east, too, why don't we travel together?
But, Joe, I'm not going east. Whatever in the world gave you that idea?
Well, it's right here in the newspaper, Don. Come here, look. It says, where? Naval Air Base, Lakehurst, New Jersey. Navy expecting huge blimp from California.
Okay, Joe, okay. I can take it, I guess. Well, anyway, I hope you have a pleasant trip, Joe. And meanwhile, what's on tap for the program tonight?
Well, tonight, we've had Onyx in the play tonight. And that reminds me, by the way, I want to speak to Ray, our sound effects man.
Yes, Joe, I have noticed that he's been sulking a bit lately. What's he so sore about, anyway?
Oh, well, you know how those sound effects men are, Don. Seems some other sound effects man stole his thunder.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, but where is Ray? Have you seen anything of his whereabouts?
Are you looking for my whereabouts, Joe?
Yes, Ray, I am.
Well, they're not here. I sent them to the laundry. I don't get it.
You don't get it?
No, but I'm working on it.
That's just what I wanted to say to you, Ray. You're not working at all.
Well, I've kept my nose to the grindstone all week.
Yeah, well, from the looks of your head, the grindstone slipped and ground a little too high.
What did you say?
You can work on that, too. Now get back to your sound effects. Come on.
I was afraid you'd ask me that. I forgot them. But don't worry, I can do them vocally.
Vocally?
Sure, you tell a story, and I'll do the sound effects with my mouth.
Okay, but it better be good. Here we go. How well I remember when I was a barefoot boy. It was April, and all of San Pedro seemed to mirror the tender loveliness of spring. Beautiful spring.
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
What's that?
The spring squeaks.
How I love to go to the barn and milk my favorite cow, Old Bess.
Moo, moo, squirt, squirt. And a nickel back in the bottles.
Then came the wanderlust, a mad yearning for travel. And I saddled my horse and rode away.
1, 2, 3, clump. 1, 2, 3, clump. 1, 2, 3, clump.
Hey, wait a minute. What kind of a horse is that?
He's It's got a wooden leg.
How the noise of the big city thrilled my ear. Yeah. The big city thrilled my ear. Anyway, how the noise of the big city thrilled my ear. I say the noise of the big city thrilled my ear.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
You're working on it? Ray, my little pixie, there comes a time in a man's life when everything looks dark. He loses a job. He gets sick, and there seems to be no relief.
No what?
No relief. Relief. You know what relief is.
Yes.
Well, from now on, you're working on it.
Now that the kids are back in school, football is in the headlines, and there's a keen nip in the morning air, I bet you've all begun to realize that fall is really here. Well, fall is a grand time to brighten up the family's breakfast with something everybody will enjoy. A brimming bowl full of swell-tasting Post Toasties. These appetizing oven-toasted cornflakes are delightfully crisp. Their wonderful flavor is just downright delicious. And say, Post Toasties are packed with food energy to help you start these glorious fall days right. And don't forget, most grocers are selling Post Toasties today at a price below that of any other nationally advertised cornflakes. So tomorrow, ask your grocer for Post Toasties, the wake-up food. Harry Sosnick and the Post Toasties Orchestra present one of the many grand tunes from The Wizard of Oz. It's Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead.
The wicked old witch.
Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Wake up, you sleepy head. Rub your eyes
and get out of bed.
Wake up, the wicked witch is dead. She's gone where the goblins go. Below, below, below.
Ho-ho!
Let's open up the gates and sing. Ring the bells of ding dong, the merry-o. Swing it high, swing it low. Let them know the wicked old witch is dead.
Tonight, folks, we are going to be
Well, well, greetings, chum. I understand you're going to New York for the premiere of your picture, $1,000 a touchdown.
Yes, sir, and the World Series, of course.
Oh, of course.
Have you and Demling decided to come along, I'm afraid?
No, no, Joe. You see, we're merely looking out for your welfare.
That's it.
We bought your tickets for you. Here they are.
Well, thanks.
Great credit, they are.
That's very nice of you.
Oh,
hey, wait a minute.
Huh?
These tickets are only good from the Union Depot to the Los Angeles city limits.
Oh, well, think nothing of it, chum. Once you get to the Los Angeles city limits, you can walk to New York in an hour.
You know, on second thought, Joe, I don't think you should go to New York at all.
No. Why?
Well, think of all the confidence men they have there. And think of all the beautiful girls.
I am.
Oh, but those beautiful girls are liable to turn your head.
Do they really have lots of beautiful girls there?
Oh, well, certainly. In New York, beautiful girls are a drug on the market.
Yeah? Take a look at a dope fiend.
Well, Joe, to convince you that New York is not the place for you, we're going to show you actual pictures of the pitfalls that beset a young man in a great city, Joseph.
Absolutely. Now, Joe, if you'll just go down there and take a seat in the audience, we'll show you the most soul-stirring drama ever seen by human eye.
Well, okay, I'll sit down there in the first row, but this better be good or you'll hear from me.
Just make yourself comfortable. Okay. Everything will be under control. Maestro. See, that's pretty. Picture number one. We find the young and tender husband leaving his dear wife to seek his fortune in the city. It's early morning, and he's through packing. His wife is just closing the bags under his eyes. A little earlier that morning, she just closed one of his eyes. Next picture, please. And now we find the young man huddled in his seat on a train.
Suddenly, the train lurches.
Yes.
Two girls lose their balance. They fall in his lap.
Yes.
Horrors. What shall our poor young man do?
Ah, but he is the soul of honor. He looks at the two young ladies on his lap and says sternly, "Look here. One of you dames will have to get off." Picture number three.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Frank. My wife found that picture on me and made me burn it.
Okay.
Picture number four.
Ah, yes. Here is our young man of the pure heart in the city now. Mm-hmm. And does he go to a wretched burlesque show? No, he is in church. He doesn't have any extra buttons, so he puts a zipper in the collection box. Picture five, please.
He walks and walks.
Yes.
He has no job.
No job.
He sits on the steps of the public library counting pigeons when he is accosted by a city slicker. The slicker tells him it would cost a dollar for every pigeon he counted.
And then?
He gives the slicker $14.
Gad, what a swindle.
It sure was. He'd already counted over 50 pigeons.
Sorry. You seem to be a pleasant moron, Willie. I think I could have a lot of fun ignoring you.
Sorry, Jim. That was my mistake.
Social?
Of course. My apologies.
Accept it.
Thank you.
Not at all. Do you mind if I rub a little snow on your bald spot? I want to make a ski jump for a grasshopper.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Next picture.
Back in his room, our hero pens a cheery note to the little woman. Dearest, he says, and I quote, New York is amazing. Today I visited the Brooklyn Bridge and saw the spot where a man shoved his wife into the river. Wish you were here. Next picture, please.
He meets a woman.
Oh.
Ah, now we have it.
Yes.
A city racket. She intends to bewitch him, insure him, kill and collect. She promises him a cherry phosphate if he will but kiss her. But what shall he do?
Her siren gaze fastens upon him, and then I can't go on with it.
Oh, buck up. Doggy does it, old chap.
Rather. Muddle through, old chap.
Rather. Gentleman's code, old chap.
Rather. Honor of the regiment, old chap.
Quite.
Quite.
Quote.
Unquote.
Quite.
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 Fire!
What's the matter, Joe? For heaven.
It won't do at all.
It won't?
Absolutely no good.
Oh,
now, but look, Joe, we just wanted to show you what terrible deception there is in a big city.
Certainly.
You should stay in Hollywood.
Absolutely, Joe, where the deception is shocking in New York. Now, for instance, there's nothing Dutch about the Holland Tunnel. Columbus was never within miles of Columbus Circle. And Times Square happens to be a triangle.
Yeah, well, we've got about the same thing here.
What do you mean?
After all, the Brown Derby isn't a hat. There aren't any hills in Beverly Hills, and you can't eat post toasties out of a Hollywood bowl. Me for New York. Now scram.
So long,
so long,
son.
So long, son. Ah, well, I'm glad that I'm rid of those crackpots. Oh, it's Blanche. Hello, Blanche.
Gee, I want to congratulate you on your picture preview. Look, the New York Times has your kisses spread all over the front page.
My picture?
Uh-huh.
Oh, let's see it. That's swell. Oh, Blanche, that's not my face. That's a picture of a Holland Tunnel. All I get from you is insults.
Well, you don't have to worry about me much longer. I'm going on a vacation. I'm going to New York myself. You think I can get around in that dangerous traffic?
You're from Los Angeles and you ask that?
I guess all a pedestrian has got to do is just be calm and collected.
Well, I don't know. A friend of mine went through traffic yesterday. He was calm and he's still being collected. Are you driving to New York, Blanche?
Yeah, I'm going with my brother and his wife.
Oh, I didn't know your brother was married.
Well, he ain't been married long. He was a bachelor the best part of his life.
Sister, no matter when a man marries, he's a bachelor the best part of his life.
Oh, you men think you've been taking a beating ever since it all began, don't you? Just because poor Adam had no one to take his part.
Oh, it wasn't so bad for Adam. After all, Eve came out on his side. Oh, is that a longy? Well, but just the same, are the three of you, just the three of you going? You, your wife, and his brother?
What?
You, your brother, and his wife?
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, my brother and his wife. His folks are going, too. You know, his outlaws.
You mean his in-laws.
Well, what's the difference?
I see what you mean. But outlaws are different from in-laws, Blanche. An outlaw will take what you've got just once and then quit.
Thank you.
was working with Joe at Paramount in his new picture, $1,000 a Touchdown, I had the opportunity, of course, to chat with Martha Ray, who co-stars in the picture with our Joe. During the conversation, Martha said, "You know, Don, a busy day ahead is my cue for Post Toasties at breakfast. They're my wake-up food because they help me start the day right. And Post Toasties are my favorite cornflakes because they're so crisp and good to eat." Well, I told Martha Ray that people just about everywhere agree with her. And if you have Post Toasties for breakfast tomorrow, you'll see what I mean. Because Post Toasties are made of choice sun-ripened corn, every crisply toasted cornflake is rich in food energy and partially dextrinized for easy, complete digestion. Post Toasties are light, not heavy, yet cram full of food energy to set you up for the morning. No wonder Post Toasties are called the wake-up food. So have some for breakfast tomorrow. Post Toasties, the wake-up food. Charming Post Toastie songstress Margaret McRae sings, "Are You Having Any Fun?"
Are you having any fun? What you getting out of living? What good is what you've got if you're not having any fun? Are you having any laugh? Are you getting any loving? If other people do so, can you have a little fun? After the honey's in the comb, little bees go out and play. And the old gray mare down home has gotta have hay. Are you having any fun? Oh, you'll never live forever. But before you're old and gray and still okay, have your little fun, son. Have your little fun. Hey, fella with a million smackers and nervous indigestion. Rich fella eating milk and crackers. I'll ask you one question, you silly so-and-so. With all your dough, are you having any fun? And what you getting out of living? What good is what you've got if you're not having any fun? Better have a little fun, 'cause you'll never live forever. But before you're old and gray and still okay, have your little fun, son. You better have a little fun.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and I repeat, our little theater off the Alcatraz rock pile presents a stirring newspaper drama entitled Bugtown. I will portray the character of Onyx, intrepid colored reporter, and will be supported by Gillen Demling of the Pismo Beach Kitty Review and an all-star cast of players direct from the Winter Garden Sky Room Theater, East Yonkers. The scene opens in the editorial room of the Bugtown News. Riley, Riley, send Frank Gill in here at once.
Yes, he's right outside. Oh, Mr. Gill?
Yeah.
I've got a big job for you, Gill.
Yeah?
Where is your assistant?
Well, I fired him. He disgraced us. I sent him to report the big football game and told him to sit on the coach's bench.
Well?
He thought I said wench.
Well, I just got word that the police have surrounded Killer Spumoni.
Too late.
The police have surrounded Killer Spumoni in the deserted shack in the country.
Yeah?
I want you to get out there and report the job.
Okay, but I'll have to have an assistant.
All right. Riley, yeah? Send in that applicant who's been waiting.
Come in, please.
Yes, sir. Here he is. Fit as a fiddle and bow-legged as a piano. Onyx California Driver Brown.
Onyx California Driver Brown?
Yeah.
Well, how did you ever get California Driver in your name?
Well, sir, on account of when I was born, my father took one look at me and didn't know which way to turn.
So you want a newspaper job, huh?
Yeah.
Well, tell me, what kind of work have you been doing?
Well, sir, up until recent, I was manager of a laundry.
Oh, really? What yes. made you give up managing a laundry?
Well, see, she divorced me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, of course, in a way, the mutual divorce was mutual.
Well, that sounds highly interesting. Proceed.
Well, Up until the time the union got strong, yeah, my wife used to kiss me every day.
She did?
Yeah, but when the union came in, she cut me down to 3 days and put on another man.
Yeah. Well, all right, Bill, get going. This is an important case. Spumoni's one of the biggest crooks in the country, and he's wanted in Los Angeles.
Oh, really? I didn't know they needed any more crooks in Los Angeles. Well, come on, Onyx, let's go.
Yeah, here we go, boy. Boss.
Yeah.
Boy, you is going powerful fast, ain't you?
Yeah, I know, but keep your eye peeled for speed cops, Onyx. I don't want a cop to pass me and flag me down.
You don't have to worry none about passing in his car. Nobody's going to do that.
No?
No, sir, I done fix it.
Oh, you did? Well, how did you manage it?
Well, sir, I just put a sign on the back end which says, pass at your own risk. Wife driving. That'll stop him, boss.
Yes, that'll stop him.
Hey, but... boss.
Yeah.
Boss, is this man a very tough man, this one we're going after, this Spumoni?
I'll tell you, Onyx, he's the toughest man in the country.
Yeah? Man, he ought to tangle with my ex-wife.
Your ex-wife? Was she tough?
Tough?
Yeah.
Boss, she was so tough that a cyclone had to get a permit before it could go through the house. Woo! Yes, sir. She was really belligerent.
Yeah, that sounds pretty tough.
Yeah. Well, it looks like we is out in the country at last.
Yeah, but how can you tell?
Well, we ain't hitting so many pedestrians.
Onyx, quiet.
Yeah.
There it is. There's the shack now. It looks like we got here before the cops.
Mm. So what?
So what? Well, just think. We might be able to capture Spumoni ourselves.
So what?
You might even do it without getting shot.
So what?
So I'll stay out here and you go inside.
So long.
Now, wait a minute, Onyx. Wait a minute.
What?
You're not afraid, are you?
Afraid?
Yeah.
Well, no, not exactly, but I wish I had on Don Wilson's pants.
Well, why?
Because there's more room to shake in, that's all. Wow.
Onyx, I'm ashamed of you. How would you like to hear people say what a coward's life he lived?
Well, that's much better than not being able to hear the preacher say how brave he died.
Listen, I've had enough of this. Onyx? Get in there.
Get in? You mean go on in?
You go right in and right now.
Okay, boss, but it's a half-hearted gesture.
Go ahead.
Here goes nothing. All right. Come on in, golden boy. No, thanks. I think I'd just as soon stay on the
outside. Come in!
I'll in.
I'll stick him up.
You mean he wants me to put up my hand?
Stick him up!
Day's up. Yeah, see, would you all mind taking that big gat out of my ribs?
Brother, you ain't seen my gat. I use this little thing on small fry like you. Why, this little thing ain't nothing but a baby gat.
Yeah, well, maybe so, but I've seen plenty of gats. But that ain't no gittin'.
Now, just a minute, Eight Ball.
Eight Ball?
You must have a little cash on you. Hand it over.
Well, all I got here is 80 cents. Guess I don't get me no dinner now.
Well, I guess that's pretty cheap, holding up for 80 cents.
Yeah.
I'll only keep half.
Yeah.
Here's 40 cents back. Remorse is gnawing at me conscience.
Is that so? Well, okay, thanks, boss. And when it starts gnawing again, you can send me the balance. Now, if you don't mind, you can point that cannon in some direction in which I ain't.
Oh, scared, huh?
Yeah, no.
I didn't think any man would have the nerve to come after killers for money single-handed.
Oh, I ain't exactly scared, boss. My nerves is as calm and smooth as a soft, sweet waltz.
Yeah?
But my knees is definitely rumba. Boss, maybe you won't mind if I sort of regains my discomposure by smoking on one of my quarter cigars.
Quarter cigars? What you giving me? You mean you pay 2 bits for that rope?
Mm-mm, no. My boss, he smokes 3/4, and then I smokes 1/4.
Well, okay, go ahead and smoke. But it's going to take more than that to calm you down when I get through with yous.
Buddy, you ain't going to scare me no more than I have been scared.
Yeah?
Yeah. Once I was called on a hen house, and the farmer caught me. Oh, boy, was I scared.
What makes you think that's the most you could be scared?
Well, I must have been scared, because when that farmer grabbed me by the arm, he looked me right smack dab in the face and he said, "What are you doing here, white boy?"
waiting for Joe and Jill, let me remind you that Post Toasties are tops in taste among corn cereals. Crisp, refreshing, delicious, famous for flavor. Another thing, Post Toasties are light, not heavy, yet rich in food energy to help you through crowded morning hours. And Post Toasties are economical, because most grocers sell them today for less than any other nationally advertised cornflakes. So try Post Toasties. See if you don't agree that for flavor, food energy, and low price, there's no better breakfast cereal anywhere than Post Toasties. Tomorrow, ask your grocer for the big economical yellow and red box of Post Toasties, the wake-up food. Now for the boy Joe and his sweetheart, Jill.
Joey, dear, how could you be so natural in that underworld play tonight without knowing anything about gangsters?
Ah, that's easy. I had a job one summer as a cashier in a police station.
Well, a cashier in a police station?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I counted the coppers as they came in. You know, Jill, the character Spumoni in the play tonight was based on a real-life character. He was a tough one, all right.
Well, was he really as crooked as he seemed in the story?
Crooked? Spumoni was so crooked he had to screw his socks on. They finally got him and sent him to the penitentiary.
Well, Joey, did Spumoni ever get out?
Oh, yeah. He was sentenced to 10 years, but he got out in 9.
Oh, how could he ever do that?
Made up a year in summer school.
You know, Joey?
What?
I don't care anything about gangsters or policemen or public enemies. You're the only one that matters to me because I love you.
Better than bubblegum?
Better than bubblegum. You're the public sweetheart number one that's a prisoner of love forever in the solitary confinement of my heart.
Gosh.
Joey, dear, You know something?
Mm-hmm. What?
Well, I was passing a store window today, and I saw something that I hope you'll buy for me someday.
What was it, Jill?
Well, it's something that makes every woman's hand look just a little bit lovelier. Something that makes a woman feel closer to the man she loves. When I'm washing dishes, it won't seem like a task at all, because I can look down and see your lovely gift.
Yeah?
Yeah. Even when I'm washing your shirts and socks, I won't mind, because I can look at my hand and see the thing that made it possible for me to wash your